Haywire.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
Global woman Aotearoa has said that based upon the gender pay gap of 8.6%, according to Statistics New Zealand, women in Aotearoa have been effectively working for free from the 30th of November until the end of the year. This disparity is much higher for Māori women who face a pay gap of 14.3% and Pacifica women who face a pay gap of 15.2%. The statement from Global Woman is part of their 8% Matters campaign, which aims to make New Zealanders more aware of the gender pay gap. Global Woman says they want New Zealanders to use this time of year to talk about topics like pay equity and pay transparency with those around them, and the campaign is an attempt to spark that conversation. I spoke to Agnes Nera, CEO of Global Woman, about the 8% Matters campaign, what the current state of the gender pay gap in Aotearoa looks like, and what more needs to be done. I began by asking Agnes to give a little bit of background on Global Woman as an organisation and the work that they do.
Look, it was established over a decade ago by people like Mei Chen and Dame Jenny. Its first kind of iteration was around women on boards, and then we migrated into women leadership. So we have about 60 partners that we partner with who hold themselves accountable in terms of women in leadership in a range of ways. We have 400 members, and those members are about, you know, both their individual influence and impact and then our collective impact. To do that, we run some leadership programs and of course, we play a role in advocacy, and where, you know, some of the advocacy we lead and some of it we do that in support. And an example of that was the Pacifica pay gap. It's right to get behind the human rights in terms of fair or equal pay for Pacifica men and women.
According to your statistics, women in Aotearoa have effectively been working for free compared to their male counterparts from November 30th until the end of the year. Could you break down how this was calculated in terms of the gender pay gap?
Sure. Look, it's taken on, and it's all men. First of all, I just want to say one thing, that obviously for Māori and Pacifica women, the pay gap, so it's 8.6 for all to all. For Māori and Pacifica, for Māori it's 14.3 and for Pacifica it's 15.2. And we all need to be really conscious of that, that the pay gap widens for other women. And so look, you take the median pay for all, and then that's kind of the calculation. Now, there's different ways of calculating, but that's how we've calculated, that's how Stats New Zealand calculates, and that's how the Ministry for Women publish that 8.6. So you divide the 8.6 by the 300 days, and we end up with 333 working days for women as opposed to men, or paid days.
Could you explain how we actually define a pay gap? So does this include women being less likely to receive promotions and higher paying positions as well?
Oh, look, you're right. There's lots of those things. If you have a look at, say, so one of the things, say, a strong example is for Māori women, you'll find that most, you know, that they're in jobs that pay lower pay. But there's also, so they call it unexplained, but some of the explained is that in terms of where the ranks or, you know, what positions women hold. There's also the idea that women work isn't valued the same way. An example that people use for that is the comparing women working in aged care, which has high risk because you've got dementia papers and all patients, and then medium to low prison, where mostly men are employed. Those, you need similar skills and expertise in them, but the men in the security work are paid much more than the women. So again, that's an example of that the work that's done by women is not valued the same way.
What sort of progress have we seen over time for reducing the pay gap?
Oh, look, you know, we have moved, you know, every year on year we move up, you know, a point. I think this year equates to about 52 hours and something. So we are moving. But the thing is, this is never done. And, you know, we were the first country to get the women's vote. Why wouldn't we be ambitious to be the first country to have no pay gap? So what we're asking around our 8% missing is that every New Zealander, because whether you're in an organisation, that this conversation happens every day, all of the time, until we get to a place where there isn't a gender pay gap. We do, organisations need to look at their policies, what's stopping women and the pay gap. So look, we are improving, and people would say, you know, compared to OECD, we're doing better, but we should never, I don't think that's a true kind of reflection of what we should be doing as a country and what we need to be. So yeah, it's slow but sure. There hasn't been a lot of movement for Pacifica women. So at the moment, the organisations we work for, mandatory they need to do gender pay gap reporting. Some do ethnic pay gap reporting. We believe that everyone should be doing ethnic pay gap reporting so we can really start to understand what the data points are that we need to change.
Do you think New Zealanders have enough of an understanding or an awareness about the gender pay gap?
No, it's an interesting thing. I am surprised about what people do know and what don't know. But to be fair to them, if it's not something, I mean, we are because it's an everyday conversation. So, no, there are parts of New Zealand that don't appreciate that there's a gender pay gap. But again, what's really important here for us to understand as a country, while that happens, women are penalised at all different points of their career. So I'm at a other end of my career, and I do worry about that I'm going to be financially okay, because all of this contributes to how we're going to be economically off when we retire. And one would hope that we've all worked really hard and we deserve to retire in terms of, you know, having a lifestyle that we're not having to worry or pay, you know, worry about week to week kind of payments. I think that would be, it's a really sad thing to happen in this country. And so this isn't just about the today and women not being paid. This is this long term. Women, the motherhood penalty does that. Menopause does that. Women are determined to, you know, that we earn less. So our outcome, our economic outcome when we retire, it doesn't look that flash for some of us.
Why is it taking so long for us to properly address the issue?
Interesting. You know, we still in this country, and Australia does, we don't have mandatory gender pay gap reporting. So, you know, if we knew what everyone was doing, because what gets measured gets done. You know, the previous national government had kind of supported the idea that that would happen, that now it's not a priority. I'm not saying they're not going to do it, but it's no longer a priority. You know, but you look across the ditch and they've had mandatory reporting for a long time. So you gotta have the evidence, and then you can hold people accountable to that. We need to see the gender pay gap not in isolation, not in a vacuum. It goes along with a range of impacts or barriers for women to be earning well.
Obviously, the way of saying that women are effectively working for free from November 30th is quite a confronting display of that data. Is that on purpose to rile people up a little bit?
Yeah. Look, I think that doesn't, because we put that data out every year, and it's why we reframed our campaign to the 8% missing. Because if you lost 8% of your coffee or 8% of something, or an example is if we said the total population of Tauranga and Whakatane were 8% of this country, so that region weren't going to be paid from the 30th till the end of the year, they would have, it becomes everybody's kind of concern. So that's that the pay gap puts out every year. That does hit some and resonate somewhere, but it's why we try to reframe, because if you think about 8%, then you think about Māori and Pacific at 15%. So we did some work with Hell's Pizza, so they removed 8% of the pizza and sent that out to media outlets. So yeah, if you weren't getting your 100% of something, you'd be pre-peed off. And that's what we need to get everyday New Zealanders to understand, that 8% matters.
Finally, could you just speak a little bit about the 8% Matters campaign and its goals and strategies moving forward?
So that's the idea, is to make it relatable, that it becomes, it's not about just women, it's about all of us. What happens for women happens for families, happens for communities, and happens for this country, given that we are more than half the population of this country. So the 8% was really trying to get New Zealanders, every New Zealander, wherever, to think about 8% missing. What would it mean for me, whatever we were talking about, whether it's food or my pay or whatever, that 8% does matter. So that's really what it was, is to make it relatable for people to think about what they would be losing or what they might do to give up if it was them. And then relate that back to that, you know, there are, you know, that women are not being paid. It just, I mean, it kind of seems inconceivable that men are still being paid and we stop getting paid on the 30th of November.
That was Agnes Nera, CEO of Global Woman, speaking to me about their 8% Matters campaign and the gender pay gap in Aotearoa.